hang a surprise on Dennis. I asked him if we could lead number 480 as our song of invitation. So we won't be using the projector for that. So if you all take out your songbooks and mark that at number 480. I woke up this morning. I have one of those funky alarm clocks that shines the little numbers up on the ceiling. And I thought, wow, I slept in this morning. Didn't think much about it till I went into my office. And I looked at the clock and I hadn't slept in at all. It's kind of like our clock back here. It automatically adjusts for daylight savings time, not knowing that the clock is in Arizona. But then I got thinking, there was a daylight savings time. It happened in Joshua chapter 10. They needed a little longer day, and God provided for the sun to simply stand still, and it did. And that probably has been the only real, true daylight savings time. If you're reading with us in our reading, this morning we changed and we left Moses. We're now going to have follow the children of Israel as they come into the land of promise. So we will begin our reading this week by reading through the book of Joshua. Fascinating history section. Deals with some interesting events. And as we begin reading through this, we started clear back in the beginning before the flood with Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and the sin. We watched as mankind corrupted itself and we saw them destroyed by the flood. Started all over again with Noah. And immediately again begins to go downhill again. People refuse to listen to God, refuse to walk in a godly manner. So God chose Abraham. And through one man has promised that He is going to bring about the salvation of all the nations of the earth. Through Abraham's lineage. And Abraham had no child, so he had a child of promise. And God began working with them, and they became known as the children of Israel. We read as Joseph went down into Egypt and was a slave, and then became second to Pharaoh overall, and how the famine drove his family to come down and be reunited, and then they just stayed because it was a good place to stay. But Exodus opened up that there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. And he evilly treated the children of Israel and brought them into bondage. And they stayed in bondage for hundreds of years. Until finally as they cried out for relief. That they wanted to be free from the bondage, and God raised up Moses. God was with Moses in his childhood, and God was with Moses in his fleeing into the Midian desert, and God was with Moses as he came back and he overthrew the Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. Brought the children of Israel out into the wilderness. Brought them up to the bottom of the promised land and said, go and possess the land. And they said, no. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't defeat them. And God then said, then you will wander in the wilderness until every one of you that is an adult will die in the wilderness. It's always amazing to me. They're like a bunch of little children. At that juncture, they say, Okay, we'll go. We'll go. But God did not go with them. They were defeated and they did wander in the wilderness until all of that generation had died. And Moses now has brought the children of Israel back to the land of Canaan. And they're ready to go in and to possess the land. But Moses is an old man. And Moses had sinned and God had told him, "You're not going there. You will die here and not there." And so Moses is going to die. But the children of Israel, like any people, they need a leader. They need somebody that will tell them when to go and when not to go and where to go and how to go. And so God is going to take care of them. And the man that He picks is a man by the name of Joshua. His actual name was Hoshea. But as you read through the book, what you find out is in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 16, when Moses picks him, Moses calls him Joshua. And what Moses did was he took the shortened form of God's name, and the last part of Joshua's name, which means salvation, and he changed it from salvation to Yahweh saves. The interesting thing about that is that's the Hebrew form, and the Greek form of that is what we know from the New Testament days as Jesus. Joshua has now been chosen from God. And he is going to lead the children of Israel. How did he get to be qualified to be this? And one of the things is, three times as they're wandering in the wilderness, Joshua is said to be the assistant of Moses. They didn't just pick him out of the blue. He had been trained. He had watched as Moses had done this. He had experience of hands-on with Moses giving him duties and responsibilities. He watched as God worked with Moses. And he watched what it was going to be like to lead the children of Israel. And I'm sure glad it was Joshua and not me. Because having seen the children of Israel, I would have probably said, "No, thank you." But Joshua was the assistant to Moses. In Exodus chapter 17, when the Amalekites came against Israel, Moses picked Joshua to take the army and to fight against them. And he did. Defeated the Amalekites. When Moses was called to go up on Mount Sinai, a little known fact is, he took Joshua and started off up the hill. I don't know how far Joshua went up the hill with Moses. But I know when Moses came down from the hill, in chapter 24, what happened there in chapter 32? They began hearing all of the sound of the children of Israel in their idolatrous, riotous practices. And it was Joshua that cried out, "It's the sound of war." Moses said, "No, it's not the sound of war." But I find it interesting that out of all the people, Joshua was at least with Moses for part of this trip. Joshua, in his time with Moses, was selected as one of the 12 of the spies that went up into the land and found it out. And you recall that when they came back, it was only Joshua and Caleb that said, "We can do this." The rest said, "We can't do this." But Joshua had already seen how God was with Moses, and he had seen how God was able to overthrow the Egyptians, and he had seen how God was able to help Moses in the war and that which he had done. And so he came back, and his confidence was not in Israel or in him as a soldier, but was in God Himself. And so he said, we can do this. When Israel was not allowed to go, since Joshua was part of Israel, he didn't get to go either. So he spent the 38 years wandering with Israel, working with Moses, and watching. And now, turn to Joshua chapter 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, unto the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all of the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all of the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's quite a commission. When you know the history of Moses and the history of Israel and the history of Joshua now, that before God tells him what he needs to do, God gives him a foundation to do it on. I am with you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. When you begin seeing this promise, you begin recounting what God was doing with Joshua and all of the assisting that He did with Moses, having watched as Moses and Pharaoh go through their little tussle with the 10 plagues. Watching as the waters opened up, which I think is probably more impressive to Joshua than when you watched Charlton Heston. I can't imagine what that looked like or sounded like. I can't imagine what was going through the minds of Joshua and Moses and the people to walk out into the middle of that. We just don't know what it looked like. But he saw that. He ate the manna with the rest of the people. He drank of the water that God had provided. His clothes, like their clothes, did not wear out. 38 years. We don't even have microfiber suits that can do that. But God provided for them. And Joshua had experienced all of this. He knew the power of God. He knew the faithfulness of God. He knew that when God had a purpose and a plan, that God could bring that purpose and plan to fruition. Whether the people were going to work with Him or not, God was going to do it. And so before God ever tells Him what to do, He simply lays this foundation. I am with you. And I'm reminded of what Jesus told the apostles. And lo, I'm with you until the end of the age. The Lord is with us until the end of the age. Then He tells Joshua, be strong morally and courageous. Then He said it a second time, be strong and very courageous. Then He said it a third time, be strong and courageous. God's given them the land, and God is going to win the battle for them, but they got to go fight. God is going to ask them to do things that are implausible. God is going to ask them to do things that you would simply shake your head and say, it won't work. But when those times come and God asks a leader to do this thing, he's going to have to be morally strong. And in his faith, courageous to do it. Courage is not being not afraid. Is that a good double negative? Courage is doing what you're supposed to do even though you're scared. To be courageous is not to lack fear. To be courageous is to step out and do what God's going to ask you to do. When the people rebel, you do what you're supposed to do. When the elements don't work, you do what you're supposed to do. When you're faced with an insurmountable, impossible barrier, and God says, go, courage steps forward. This is what the people of Israel needed. This is what God provided for them. And then He said, be careful. I talked about this about 2 months ago. When we were reading the book of Deuteronomy. And as you read through the book of Deuteronomy, God says, be careful, be careful, be careful, be careful. Over and over and over again. So guess what God tells Joshua? Be careful. We're not playing with men. And we're not dealing with the laws of men. We're dealing with God. We're dealing with our soul in relationship with its Creator. And this is not to be trifled with and treated lightly. Joshua has now been given the responsibility of leading God's people. His people. That is, they're not Joshua's people. They're God's people. And what Joshua is doing is not for Joshua. It's as a servant unto God. And so what he needs to do is be careful. But then God modified that. Be full of care what I've told you to do. God has said this over and over and over again to His people. When God tells His people that they're supposed to do something, He expects us to do it. He doesn't just give us things to do to keep us busy. But even if He did, the commandment is still the same. It is not just believing in God. It is the one that will believe what God said, step out to do whatever it is that God has said. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham left his fatherland. By faith, Moses crossed the Red Sea. By faith, Joshua is going to lead them into the land. And every single by faith account in Hebrews 11 is followed by a verb. Be careful to do what I've told you. But God didn't stop there. What God said was, be careful to do all that I tell you to do. And He didn't say this just once. He stated this over and over again. And so Joshua now is going to be leading the people, and the first thing that a leader has to be willing to do is he has to be willing to do what he's asking the people to do. And if Joshua is not willing to do what the Lord said, Joshua can never lead the people to do what the Lord has said. So Joshua is to be careful to do all that the Lord has said. And then God adds yet another warning. Don't deviate to the left or to the right. And you all recognize that's a figure of speech. Because God's commandments are the straight and narrow. And to deviate to the left or to the right is to leave what God has commanded. To change what God said is to go to the left or right. To not do what God said is catastrophic. But in the end, do what I've asked you to do, the way that I've asked you to do it, when I ask you to do it. And let me give you an illustration. You're going to go to Jericho. When you get to Jericho, line up all of the people and march around the city. But don't say anything. If I'd have been Joshua, I would have said, how am I going to keep the women quiet? Truth of the matter is, how are you going to keep all of them quiet? But he led them. And he told them. And then the next day, do the same thing. And the next day, do the same thing. And the next day, and I know at that point, somebody in the crowd said, Joshua, this ain't working. We've done this 3 days in a row, and nothing's happening. I'm going to stay in my tent. But what the leader has to do is be strong. And be courageous. And be careful to do all that I've told you to do exactly the way I've told you to do it. And Joshua would have got him out of that tent and said, fella, you're going to march. And on the seventh day, you march around it 7 times. Can't you hear the people? 7 times? You've got to be kidding. But when they did what God said to do, the way God said to do it, and not deviate from the left or from the right. The walls of Jericho fell. Joshua needed that faith. And then God told Joshua, as a leader of His people, you got to do all of this word that I've given to you. And in order to do that, He said, you need to meditate on this. Day and night. You need to talk about it. You need to read it. You need to think about it. You need to do it. You need to think about it. You need to read it some more. His life would have been consumed with knowing what God had said in this law. And if you do, then you're going to have success. If you'll do what I've asked you this way, then you're going to have success. Because God is with him. And God will accomplish what He's going to do. So, okay. And everybody gets together and they march up to the Jordan River and it's flood season. And there's no way to get across the Jordan River. You've got all of the little ones. You've got all the women. You've got all of the animals. You've got the tent that you're carrying. You've got all of the stuff that you have with you. You can't get across the Jordan River. But remember, God said, I'll be with you like I was with Moses. And when they came to the Red Sea and they couldn't get across, God parted the waters. And when Joshua came to the Jordan and they couldn't get across, guess what God did? And He parted the waters. And He showed to the people that He was with Joshua just like He was with Moses. And now Joshua can have courage and strength. So they crossed the Jordan River. God had given the covenant of circumcision. Y'all can ask me later, why didn't they circumcise the generation in the wilderness, and I don't know. But now we have a whole generation that should have been circumcised that weren't. And in order to be God's people and not be cut off from among them, they need to be circumcised. And I'm going to tell you, this may have been harder than crossing the Jordan River. But all of the men are circumcised. And this is the spring of the year, and what takes place in the spring of the year in the Jewish calendar is they observe the Passover to remind them of when they had come out. They had been doing this for a generation. But Joshua is going to be careful to do everything that God said to do. And God said that you will observe the Passover. And so Joshua has Israel observe the Passover. I'm going to tell you what he's doing. He's doing exactly what God had told him to do as a leader. They come to Jericho and they do exactly what God says, and Jericho falls. And then they come to Ai. And Achan had disobeyed God. God had said, all of the stuff is mine. You can't take it for personal use. And Achan lusted and took and hid in his tent. And when they went out against Ai, God was not with them. God turned His back on them, and God did not protect them, and God did not wage the war for them, and they were whipped. There was sin in the camp that had to be taken care of. And Joshua led the people in taking care of that. And then he took Ai. And they had come up, if you're looking at a map, on the right side of the Dead Sea, through the land of Moab. Now, left turn, and they cross over the Jordan River. They circumcise everybody. Then they come in and they take Jericho and Ai, which is in the center of the land. And then they turn south, down where all the Philistine people were, and they take all of the inland part of that. And then they turn to the north, and they take all of the northern part of that. And then Joshua gathers all of the people together, and he said, "Now you see that not any promises of God have failed. They've all come to pass. You see that God now has given you all of the land that He promised you. So now you need to live godly." But turn to chapter 24. Pretend that you have read chapters 2 through 23. And down at verse 15. Actually, verse 14. "Now therefore," Joshua tells the people, "fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river of Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, then choose this day whom you will serve. Whether it is the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." God put before them life and death. Good and evil. And what God did was He endowed them with the ability and the right and the responsibility of choice. I don't know if God could have created a world differently than this one, because it doesn't matter. God created this world, and He created humans with the ability to disobey. However you want to theologically fit that into your worksheet, it's just a fact. Joshua knew it as a fact because he told them, "Choose this day." Serving God is always a matter of choice. You can choose to do it. You can choose not to do it. I'll tell you what you can't choose. You can't choose not to do it and go to heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you choose to do what God has asked you to do. Because God has said, there will be a day of judgment. When you choose not to serve God, you will be held accountable for it. God is like the most loving parent that you would ever have. He wants you to choose good. I remember my daddy telling me that's what he wanted, but somehow that never really seemed to me as a six-year-old to be the truth. Until I had a six-year-old. And I began to understand exactly what my dad meant. As I watched, and my son and my daughter were facing the same choices I faced 25 years earlier. that I learned my daddy had faced 25 years earlier than that. That I learned grandpa had faced. But each generation faces it for themselves. I tried to believe for my children, but you can't. You can instill them with enough knowledge that they can come to faith. You can teach them about responsibilities so that they can learn to fear God. You can give them the equipment to make the good choice, and then you have to step back and let go. And they choose. It breaks our heart. Or sends us to clouds of ecstasy. When we watch them make good choices, tears of joy. And when we watch as they make bad choices, tears. Because they're adults. And as God is watching us today, He's laid before us the same thing Joshua did. Who will you serve? God will be with us. Be strong. Be courageous. Be careful to do all that I tell you. Do not deviate from the left or the right. And then you shall prosper in your doing. Not financially, but righteously and godly. So choose you this day whom you will serve. And as Joshua said, I will serve the Lord. That needs to be your choice. We're going to stand and sing number 480. What I want to do is I want to sing verse 1 or in verse 3 and then the chorus at the very end of that. So just verse 1 and verse 3. And then the chorus. No.